Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All I Can Geek Gamescast, episode 317. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gast, joined by Mike Sneed.
What's up?
And Corey Feinstein.
Choices matter, bitches.
Choices matter. Welcome, listeners and viewers, to N7 Day.
Fitting that we end it on 7, like 317, this episode number. It just has a 7 in it, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure we can figure out a way to manipulate the numbers into making 11 7, but whatever. 16 11 minus 7 equals 20. I don't know.
16 11 minus 7.
Okay. Was sure. Did I hit that? I did hit that. That's right? 16 plus 11 minus 7 is 20.
Okay. Yeah. I just say I don't know where you're getting 16 from. That's my point.
It's 2016.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I'm bringing that from. But I was just rambling off numbers there, and I actually got the equation done properly. all right. Anyways, welcome listeners and viewers to 317. It's N7 Day, and we've had also a shit ton of news come out in the past week. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it. Let's lead off with N7.
All right. Let's do it.
So Mass Effect Andromeda. We've got a lot of details finally for this.
It's interesting because we've talked a lot about it on Slack recently and how some of us are not interested or excited. And I was on the not excited. I was fine with what they had, and I did not need any more Mass Effect. I could have gone with, another story, different era, or maybe theme. But after seeing what we saw today, I've changed my tune a little bit. It's definitely looking much more exciting and interesting, and I'm much more curious than I was before.
Didn't you get that? Now that I understand what the story is, it's like it brings all of us fans of N7, the Mass Effect universe, all of us fans of the original set, and it takes us, all of us, including the characters in this, to a new universe at the same, from that same time period. You know what I mean? So we're all going, including those characters, like what Mike said, like how you described it in Slack works. So we're all going to experience it in the new style, like the new style, essentially.
Yeah. And that's cool. What I liked, like I said, one of the key points of this story is that your characters are going 600 years in the future through cryosleep. So they're from the universe that we're already familiar with.
And now we know it's Mass Effect 2 era.
Yeah. So what we understand about the universe does matter, but it's in a totally new setting. So we're the same perspective as the characters, pretty much, which is a good way to have it not get ruined by that ending.
Yes.
Remove it enough from that ending, but also make it so that the universe that we've learned through these first three games matters. So it's a pretty clever way, I guess, to do. I hope it
pans out.
Works.
Considering that no matter what ending we funneled into at the end of three, we saved the universe, right? Did we all do that?
We destroy the universe.
You can destroy it.
Okay, because I thought they all just destroyed
the rebuilds. I mean, basically, everything gets destroyed. One of the options.
Okay, so that wouldn't tie into this story too much.
The Reapers basically win, I think. Like what's her name? The Asari chick, the first one you meet.
Not Samara. That's
the older
her
one.
Mother.
Is it becoming an elf?
Her mother?
No, I don't think it's her mother.
We've talked about.
I don't remember.
Liara.
Liara, there it is.
I forgot. It's bad I forgot her because she was the first girlfriend. Yeah.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. She's like the first, sorry, we meet,
Mike,
too.
You forgot your first girlfriend.
He's getting married. It's fine. It's better this way.
We got a podcast now. We talked about Artemis and we talked about Liara now.
But yeah, in one of the endings, she has a recording where we failed or something and...
I don't remember the endings already. I've blocked them out.
No, they seemed completely meaningless to me. I just know that the relays get destroyed in all of them.
Yeah.
And you may or may not see your crew members go to some other planet and
survive.
Yeah, some of them at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Back to this.
Fuck the endings.
Back to this. This is taking place now 600 years into the future of it's 2.
In a different galaxy.
Yeah, now are we going to get like, this is what it sounds like. Are we going to get different games in this series based on different arcs? Because the Pathfinder is the human arc. And that's what we're playing in this first game. Sounds like that's what we're doing.
I kind of think that's there so you can interact with some of the alien races you knew already. Like you can meet them at some point. You won't,
but I don't think we will. I think there's the races that are on the arc with us.
Well, the only ones on our arc, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's the human arc. The Hyperion finds itself in the wrong location. This is the little synopsis here. I'll read it real quick. The human arc, the Hyperion, finds itself at the wrong location after a 600-year trip. However, where it loses contact with the other three arcs, as well as the Nexus, a command center sent ahead of the arcs to the Andromeda Galaxy. So it's like, you know, you're lost in the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. And there are other aliens. There are alien races that we've seen in the trailer. Like, there is, you know.
Sorry.
Sorry, thank you.
Are there
the Ars race, the Ars race, there. So, and obviously we're going to get those. We're going to get the classic Krogans, but we're going to get a whole bunch of new races as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool.
New other galaxy races, I guess.
Yeah. New technologies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, I liked what they revealed today. I mean, I would have liked to have gotten a full trailer. It's weird that they held the full trailer till December 1st. Don't you guys think that?
Yeah, I don't know what else they could be like doing with that.
Yeah.
For,
like, 4 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, plus the game launch is supposed to be in, like, March 2017.
Yeah, okay.
That's laughable. Yeah, laughable.
No, I'm in my mind, I've already pictured this as, like, you know, a holiday 2017 game.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see, but I'd be surprised if this came out in, like, you know, March or April.
Yeah. What else do we have for details from this, guys? They haven't really shown much gameplay. That's going to be December 1st. That's the gameplay stuff.
The Paragon and Renegade thing is a big change.
Thank you. So Paragon and Renegade, this is the change they're doing. They're not going to be in the game. Now, before you jump all over this, it actually sounds fine what they're doing. I read it. Basically, they're cutting out the set Paragon and Renegade paths. Mm-hmm. So you, me, everybody here that's playing this game, we'll start picking dialogue options, and depending on what we pick, opens up other options, but there's no set path. Like, you don't know that that's the Renegade choice or that's the Paragon choice. You just knew how we used to know that.
It's a little bit like how they got rid of the karma system in Fallout, because there used to be karma, you know, gained or lost karma. Now it's just, you know, someone like this or someone dislike.
Everything's much more gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we could all play a different set of dialogues, but we won't know how we got there because we're all getting different dialogue throughout the game.
I just hope you still have the chance for certain actions like you did in the later ones where you could interrupt a conversation with like a Paragon or Renegade action to just like make something happen.
Well, that's what they're saying. Those actions will be there, but they're not going to be set and defined.
Like, yeah.
They want you to play the character more as you would play yourself.
That's what I tried to do, and I remember I got a little, not screwed, but I didn't get all the options I could because I would do a little bit of both, and then I never maxed out either bar, and I couldn't do the hardest persuasions or whatever. Because
that's not going to affect you like that.
Yeah.
That's not going to affect you, which is good.
Yeah, I'm glad, because I do like trying to, like, at least the first time I play through a game, to just do it, like, as if I were the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like from this release was the fact that the side missions, the loyalty missions you would do, they won't be affecting the ending of the game. That doesn't mean we're not going to have multiple endings, but remember, that's what we kept our crew alive, Corey. We used to run, like, the first thing you told me about Mass Effect, first thing, talk to your shipmates. That was the first thing you told me, and I was like, okay. And that's going away. Like, you don't have to do that. I mean, there's going to be side missions, but sounds like it's going to be more optional.
We'll see. I'm sure there'll be some sort of stakes with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of went away with that in 3 as well, where, like, some of the things you did didn't really matter as well. But
it really mattered in 2.
In 2, it does.
Sorry.
No, but
2 was great. 2 was a great finale, like, bringing everybody together like that. And like, the way you played the game,
the choices you made decided how the game was going to end. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that part of it should stay there, where there are things that you do or not do will change what happens. But
by the way, can I just, we're going to pause this for 1 second and mention to our listeners and viewers that Tony's not on the podcast, and it's not because it's N7 day. I promise you, he had something else to do. Yeah. Like, we were talking about Mass Effect cordially on Slack earlier. So we're not, he's not like, I'm not going to be on the podcast. Fuck this game, you know, but go on. Now we can
good
go
point. Good point. We didn't mention he wasn't there. He
would probably be saying something like that if he were.
He probably would, but
yeah, I think they should have like consequences for actions for your characters, not necessarily how it ends, but for your, like for your ending, but for the characters that you meet.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe it was a lot of the appeal almost to the other game is like, you're just trying to figure out how to keep everyone loyal.
And that's
to you,
what made two so cool, is that like the choices you made for your crew members could, you know, vary greatly of who actually makes it out of that. And then affects so much that they can't affect, but you could technically die in that game and the game and it's over.
Yes. Remember that there was a guy that did it and he pulled it off, which is awesome. Well, I'm getting laggy. Sorry.
You opened up Windows.
Yeah, I opened and closed for what we were doing for news. I am way behind.
there you go. You finally said that.
I rebooted too. It's just, it's got to be the new OS. It's got to be the new OS.
It looks better now.
Mm-hmm. At least you can't open Windows. You got to do it on your phone or something.
Yeah, which is no, I don't keep my phone near me.
But anyway, I'm excited about this game, but I've been excited about it for a while. Like I said, I bought like Dragon Age Inquisition because I was itching for the sort of BioWare like character style and story building.
Yeah.
And that game was okay, but I liked it enough because of that. Then, you know, Destiny, I saw, you know, what was the home base called there again? I forgot already.
The Destiny home base? The Tower?
Yeah. It reminded me a little of the Citadel, but like it wasn't like 100th as interesting, so that's part of my disappointment with Destiny. Mm. So, yeah, I'm still looking forward to this. I mean, if it was like the year or so after the ending of Mass Effect 3, I'd be like, ugh, Mass Effect. But it's not. So, it's been long enough for me. And
yeah, definitely.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Description of how you enter the game and how it's gonna you're gonna play it seems cool. Like you said earlier, how it's like we're going to be in the perspective of the writer.
Yeah, family.
Because I wouldn't have liked it if it were just like someone from 600 years in the future, because then it's like it has nothing to do with the original game, so why even bother?
Right.
Yeah, but we have the N7 logos. I mean, because Spectre, there will be like Spectres, but they're just not. They're from our era, but it's in a new time.
Mm-hmm.
So like technology also is going to be crazy to see for this 600 years into the future, new universe.
It's kind of rebuilding though.
If they figure out anything.
Depends on the ending.
The Mako's there.
It's not called the Mako, is it?
No, but it looks just like it, so we'll see. The trailer came out today, the teaser trailer. Interesting. Not as cool as... I like the recruitment video better as a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that got me more psyched.
This one got me more psyched. Than
really? I don't know. Like, I think it's cool that we got details. The box art's nice. I do like the box art that was released today.
Of the helmet?
Well, I like the other one, the second one.
Okay. That helmet looks like... The first thing I thought of was a Destiny Warlock helmet.
The second one that was posted in our Slack chat was, I thought was better, the better cover. But, yes, what else we got released from N7 Day?
Well, they, like, I think leaked 3 versions that are going to be available.
Yes, so there's the regular version, the deluxe, which I got to jump on and pre-order on Amazon for the same price as the regular. And then the Super Deluxe Edition, which I didn't even know existed at the time.
Now, what do these things include?
I have it. Hang on. Let me get it pulled up because I had it and I closed down some windows. So I might lag here. Let's hope I don't.
You will.
Let's hope I don't.
We did have a little discussion about the merits or, downsides of pre-ordering when you mentioned this. And,
Game Informer's here, actually. I haven't gotten to read the article yet for Mass Effect. But, and as I'm looking this up, just also... Mass Effect, the entire trilogy is now available on, first of all, it's backwards compatible on Xbox One and completely available on EA, that subscription service they have.
Access or something?
Access, yep. So it's all there to play for as long as you're paying for Access, you got it.
I have them all right here.
Well, you don't, because I have...
Oh, shoot. I don't have them all right here.
Yours right here. Hang on. I got to find. They had the stats up here, and I can't remember. It came with, like, one extra thing besides the deluxe version, and I obviously can't now find it.
I know one thing that it had was, like, 20 weekly operation packs or something they call. I don't remember what they call them. The Gears calls them operation packs. Like, the multiplayer.
They're all basically, the two packs stuff. Come with, like, multiplayer stuff. Mm-hmm. So, this might have it right here. Update.
Isn't it in Slack also?
Oh, maybe it is.
I forgot that multiplayer is a thing in this series now. I'm assuming it's going to be similar to how it was in Mass Effect 3. I don't know.
You know
though.
What? Yep, I think my issue is Chrome.
It could be.
Yeah, because I just saw my computer start to really get... Yep, there it goes. It's getting like warning. Like it's all this crap's going on.
So, yeah. Basically, the deluxe and the deluxe super deluxe versions are essentially the same except for a multiplayer super deluxe booster pack you get. And
so basically you can deluxe, pay ahead of time for all your pay to win stuff. All right.
Yeah, deluxe edition only gets one of the deluxe launch packs, where super deluxe gets 20 weekly packs of that.
The whatever that does. Does
I have no idea. Plus you get armor.
Yeah, so I got the deluxe pre-ordered for the same price as the original, the regular, so who cares? That's what I did. And then we got into a nice pre-order discussion on Slack
about
that.
Now, do you know if any of your prior saves will do anything?
I don't think so, right? I think I heard that.
There's no way that they exist for a lot of people anymore. Like, I don't have them.
Yeah, I mean,
achievements, you could do it. Yeah, you're right. Xbox could sync it. Then I'd play on Xbox if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah, if you could see your achievements.
I don't think there's going to be anything, though.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm wondering if there's going to be any sort of VR support for this. That's another question I had for them. I even asked it on Twitter to them. I didn't get a response, unfortunately.
The other thing is it going to continue for this generation to have the saves that carry over again?
I think so. I think it's a feature it's a staple of the series, and I think you need to have that. I think you do need to have
if
that.
If this is successful and it has a sequel, I would say I would bet that it would have them.
Yeah.
Do you think they switch their saves for this to an online thing then?
A cloud-based? Yeah, that'd be cool. Like,
I mean, there is Origin.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Origin.
Their service.
Especially since, you know, we're going to have all these maybe half iterations of consoles during this generation. So,
yeah.
You got to be careful with that because people might be trading out systems more frequently now.
Well, that's the thing. And I, you know, if we're, I mean, what else do we have to talk about for Andromeda? Because you set me up for PlayStation Pro, which is launching this week. All right. So, PS4 Pro, moving into that now, is launching this week, which Jim. That's me, does not have a PlayStation in my room anymore. My PlayStation officially finally melted. Not
melted.
Not actually melted, but inside the fan just went poof.
Like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, it just poofed away. I've had this issue a while back. I was telling you guys I think it was broken, and then I got working again. And in fact, I got my system to run for like 2 hours on Saturday night, and it didn't shut down. But I still traded it in on Sunday. Because I've already had this many problems with it that I need to maximize the value.
Mm-hmm. Plus,
I'm afraid with the launch of the Pro that it's going to drop the price trade in of these. So I got the 150 for it right now.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so I have $150 in credit, and I am going to get the PS4 Pro. So you guys will get to hear my feedback on this. But the feedback I'm hearing is not all great. I mean.
I've only heard positive stuff, so I don't know where it's not.
Well, I mean, like IGN says there's not enough content. Then there was a lot of them that even said,
like... So the big question you have to ask yourself, like, I think, for this is it something you want to replace your current PC, PlayStation 4 with, or is it something that you're going to be buying because you don't have a PlayStation 4?
All of the reactions that I've got from this are this. If you own a PlayStation 4, do not upgrade this system.
Right, so there is no point to upgrade it. But if you do not... Why not?
If you do not, they still said that the Slim's a great system to get rather than this, because a lot of people, unless you have a 4K TV, don't buy this.
For you, Jim, you have a VR and you have and you
for,
don't have
for me,
a PS4.
I'm getting it because
so
there's
it
for
makes
me
way more sense.
There is a 4K TV in my cart on Best Buy. It's there.
Even
I'm waiting for it.
If you don't have 4K TV, for you, I think it makes too much sense not to go for it. Why wouldn't you?
Because I'm going to eventually, because you know I'm going to get the Scorpio next year. Like 4K gaming, I'm going to be.
Yeah, but that's next year, man. I'm just saying, for you specifically.
Oh, for 4K.
Not even 4K. Who cares about 4K? If you're looking at the slim, if you don't have a PS4 right now and you have a VR system you can't use.
Yeah.
You're going to look at the slim or you're going to get the pro? I mean.
No, because for $100 more, you're going to get a system that's going to run the frame rates better than the games that are on the on the games that get patched for it. It's not like the Xbox One, the S Effect. The S Effect improved performance all around, remember? Just automatically. These games are all locked. If they don't get patched, it doesn't run faster.
Yeah.
Digital Foundry did the study on that today.
Yeah,
which
that
was kind
makes
of
sense,
for
though.
Why?
Because if they're not, I know, but they were probably built that way because they had that dynamic scaling originally. These games probably weren't built that way, and if you try to do that, doesn't necessarily. We don't know.
So Microsoft's inferior hardware built in the upgrades automatically. That's good for them, but it's just funny to mention that they screwed that up.
That's my theory on this is that. But, They need to do something because it wasn't originally set that way. And if they do open it up, that could cause issues with the games. And they probably
I mean, with 45 games getting patches by the end of the year, it sounds like it's going to be worth it either way.
And Cerny even said that you don't expect any improvements on current games unless they patch it in.
Well, I mean, I'm patching. I want to play Shadows of Mordor, which I hardly played when I still own it. I still hardly played it, but I got apparently a very nice upgrade with this from Pro. And it's texture wise, they look far better. So. It sounds like if people patch the earlier games that we've played, not the ones more recently even, but the earlier ones, there could be a nice bump in improvement because of the lower quality textures when the system first came out. So that's interesting in itself. Metal Gear Solid 5, if Konami was actually a real company anymore, it would be great to see that they do something with that. But they're dead, so it's not going to happen. But Diablo, Overwatch.
Started Diablo before we got on the podcast, actually.
Damn it. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, I kind of want to play that, but we got to play Gears.
I know.
Maybe not tonight, but we're playing tomorrow and Wednesday, if you're available, because I'm free on both those nights. So.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. I think Sony and I were going to actually see Doctor Strange in Mansfield.
Again?
Yeah, it's $6.
Oh, yeah, $6. Nice. We'll figure it out, but we'll play some Gears. But anyways, so back to the Pro. So that's launching this week for $400. Consensus is, if you don't own a system,
why not
get
it?
That one. If you're like me, not like me, I buy stuff like VR that doesn't need to be bought by everybody.
I mean, you are in a situation where you're not living with a,
I'm comfortable. Yeah, very.
So you have the ability to do that. For me, I have a wife, a son, and another one on the way.
This fits you though. If there was an opportunity for you to get this for $200, I would say you should.
I mean, obviously, it's an upgrade. I've had my system for is it 3 years now or 4 years? We're working on
3 years. 2013.
So hardware gets obsolete quickly these days, but we don't need it. So I'd rather get an S before PS Pro actually, because my Xbox runs like shit.
The S is so nice too. I'm kind of looking at that and I keep saying, no, just wait. The Scorpio's coming out next year. Don't buy the S. Mike, that brings me to my next conversation. If you could get an Xbox One S for $200, essentially on Black Friday, would you get it?
I don't think so.
Wow.
What would I play on it?
Yeah.
Halo.
Gears, Halo, Forza.
I don't like Gears or Forza. I would play Halo, but again, that's it.
And I mean, it gets all the multi-plats. I mean, it gets.
Yeah, but if you have a PS4.
Yeah, but I have them already, and I have them all my shit is saved all in the PlayStation network and the hard drive.
With PSVR, I'm pulled more into the PSV ecosystem. I'm pre-ordering all of these games for PS4 because they have, Final Fantasy 15 has VR support. It's getting me to buy their games specifically for their console, which is interesting. But the Pro for me makes sense. Going back to Pro real quick is because of the VR. There's supposed to be nice improvements on Drive Club by itself, so that's interesting for me. Now I might buy Drive Club VR. But Black Friday is coming up though, and that's why I just asked that question because I've seen them $249 with a $75 gift card. This with three games included with that. That's an excellent deal.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that's an excellent deal. You could theoretically trade your game, your system in a GameStop for $100 in cash, I think. That's cash.
Is
now,
it?
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, maybe that's PlayStation. That might be PlayStation. But one of those systems gives you $100 in cash. So you can essentially trade that in and get the system there for what? $149 with $75 gift card? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just saying, Corey. Not trying to give you too many ideas.
No, I hear you, but it's still $175. Or, well, $150. Yeah, it's $150 still.
Yeah.
I have to pay.
And $75 at like Kohl's. It's Kohl's cash. It's Kohl's Black Friday. So would you use it? Yeah. If you're going to buy Kohl's. $75 in something, it's interesting. I buy Kohl's stuff.
I always forget about the Kohl's cash. I always leave it or forget that I have it.
Yeah.
It's like,
Well, $75 you wouldn't want to forget.
But... No, absolutely.
All right. Let's see. We have new 3DS models coming up Black Friday. Speaking of that, they're going to be different color. It's the new 3DS. I'm sorry. I read that entirely wrong. But it's coming out for $99 on Black Friday.
Oof.
So, that's good. Same 3DS we've always played, but the new 3DS, you can see the 3D better.
And does it has the extra knob?
Yes.
Is it more powerful? I can play the new 3DS games?
It's the new 3DS.
It's the actually the latest one.
Yeah. It's a Mario themed new 3DS model. Yeah. It's
3DS Turbo Edition.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's not bad. $100. Genesis Returns. Do I care about this? Not really. But Mike, I'm reading it for you.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'd get the classic version of this.
It's actually a Brazilian company that's doing it because apparently Genesis is still like real big there for some reason. Mm-hmm. But Sega's actually signed off and like, so it has like the real branding. They're allowing it and like supporting it, I guess. I'm not sure. But basically for the Brazilian equivalent of $120, it has like 20 something games on it. And I don't know, they're doing the nostalgia thing too, just like the new
NES classic.
NES thing, classic with cords that are about this long.
Oh, dude, that Nintendo NES has got me so pissed. Like, yeah, I was gonna rant today about this. Yeah, they're selling Nintendo is selling the 6-foot extension cord for it already for $10.
Yeah,
more sounds like dongles. Apple or something.
Yeah, it's like let's dongle.
I was gonna
guys.
Complain to Tony about it like crazy, but then like he'd laugh at me when I go out and buy it. Because like I complained about it, which is true.
He does complain about things and buys them still.
Yeah, so
we all do that. Everybody, I don't think there's anybody that's complained about something and then eventually not gone out that has some support for that. I mean, people do that all the time. It's
yeah. All right, let's talk about BlizzCon.
All right, let's talk about BlizzCon.
BlizzCon happened, folks.
How did I become the biggest Overwatch player of all of us? How did this happen? When did this happen?
I moved on to like I went to play some other games this season. So I played I've played XCOM and I've played VR stuff and I played Gears of War. What have you played besides Overwatch?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. So I played these other games.
I finished everything that I had.
I am respecting our listeners and viewers to give them opinions on other games.
Mm. Yeah, all right.
In any case, let's talk about BlizzCon.
I seriously wanted to try these other games. This is why I don't like getting games that are 200 hours long, because there's other games, like Gears, that I want to play.
I mean, Overwatch is as many hours as you feel like, because you get the full experience in like 1 hour.
But I'm not going back. I mean, it's still here. The only thing I'm going to get rid of is the Xbox version, I think. I think I'm done with that one, because I don't think I'm going to play it enough to play both versions. Mm-hmm. And you can get it. You can still trade it in for like $42 at Best Buy. It's ridiculous.
It's good.
I'm going to trade it in. Yeah. But anyways, so BlizzCon occurred. Disappointing, I would say. I was disappointed with BlizzCon.
Well, there's definitely more to be disappointed than our bet for you, Jim. But
yes. Well, I lost the bet, and that's not why I'm disappointed.
But yeah, I agree, because I think that the BlizzCon is where you have your big announcements. You really want to build up hype for your brand. And it was really just minimal updates to the pre-existing properties they have.
We'll get with the least most interesting one for us is the Hearthstone expansion. So we got a – what's it called? It's a
– One Night at Kazahan or Kazahan?
Gadgetzan. 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 Sorry. Zan. I don't know. But Tony's yelling at us for pronouncing it this way right now, I'm sure. So yeah, we got a new expansion for that. 132 new cards. It's going to allow the first time to use tri-class cards, which means multiple classes, which is heroes. So it's the first time that's happening. So they're changing the cards slightly with the way they work, but it's an update.
Well, I mean, they've had generic cards before. What do you mean?
Tricolor. They're tricolor cards, I'm getting. That's what I'm getting from this. Tri-class cards.
Oh, tri-class. I thought you said color. As in...
Well, I was, but I'm counting it as color. It's class. It's...
Oh, I think of. I was thinking of like rarity. That's all. That's why.
Oh, no. I was okay. I'm thinking of it like Magic. But so, yeah, try class cards. The first time they're introducing these things. So that's really the big thing for this.
The only other thing I saw that was interesting was the legendary that you can build your own like potion or something. That was an interesting mechanic. But I don't know. It's Hearthstone, and if you're behind the meta, you're done. You can't catch up.
Yeah, which we are. Over. Right.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah. Then we also had here we go. I'm going to leave Sombra for the end, I guess. Nah, whatever. Let's just talk about Sombra.
She was hacking you earlier, so.
Oh, good. I can care again.
We'll bring Mike back in for a second before
we
talk about
that. So, they talk about Overwatch, and they say how it's, you know, the newest IP that Blizzard's done in the past 17 years, which, I mean, this is all true. And so they show you a video of its, like, launch, which I thought was actually a really interesting video, and I was actually getting into this video.
Yes, I wanted to see
this video. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, get a little behind the scenes. And as the video's going, all of a sudden it starts skipping and lagging, and you're like, oh shit, here comes Sombra, and here she comes. She hacks the video feed, and they announce the character officially, finally.
Yeah, with a new release cinematic, which is fantastic cinematic. Mm-hmm. They always do great with these things. Yep. But it was like the worst kept secret. Mm-hmm. Her image is leaked already. So we've gotten those before. I don't know. It was not as impressive of a release. Like, I feel like
it's just one character. I mean, they built her up so much. Like, it would have never worked. She's just one character. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the good news is we're getting two new maps, which sounds awesome. One real one
that like you'll play on the normal modes we're used to, and then there's the arcade smaller map.
That's the one that we got on the PTR today, actually.
Yeah. So the game is splitting into two quick play modes. One's going to be arcade, where they have this new map. What was their description of arcade? Because now it's become the old quick play.
There's lots of things actually in arcade.
There's a lot more. Yeah, it's not just free, no limit. It's not just that.
Well, there's the brawl stuff, right? There's
top brawls, so yeah. they're taking old brawls that were popular. You can play them again there. There's also a 1v1 mode, which is interesting.
Yeah. And it's a mirror match. So basically,
and a 3v3.
Yeah. Yeah, and a 3 versus 3 elimination. So there's one life. So that's all pretty interesting, and some people are... hypothesizing that eventually, like, some of these might go into like actual competitive modes too. But for now, they're arcade, but they're new ways to play the game. Finally,
yeah.
It's really why arcade is probably more interesting to me than Sombra.
Yeah, sure.
Because
it gives you more to do.
Sombra, yeah, I look at Sombra and her abilities, and I just feel like she's going to be a troll character.
Well, let's talk about her abilities
now. Just real quick on the arcade, there are things that you can do that get you loot boxes.
That's true too.
Oh, yeah. Really? So that'll actually earn loot boxes.
I'm not sure what exactly
was. Yeah, there's either a brawl or different things that you do within arcade that will unlock loot boxes besides leveling up.
Yeah.
Which I think they should have done from the start. Like your first brawl win or game play, you should have gotten a loot box for. Because nobody plays the brawls. There's no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So going back to Sombra, what her abilities? Let's talk about what she can do as a character.
Well, obviously, there's been this whole ARG that's been going on, that's been leading up to this character, and people have been very
Has it been leading up? Because she was getting announced at BlizzCon.
Yeah, it's still been leading up to the character. It's not like we didn't do anything to reveal her. It's just a matter of having people do things that led up to the character, and it's. She's kind of this fourth wall breaking character in a sense, but as far as her abilities go, they kind of, you know, use that theme. So she has an ability where she can hack enemy opponents, and so they can't use their abilities, and she can hack health packs. so that they recharge faster for your teammates and are not able to be picked up by your enemies.
That's just cool.
It's pretty neat mechanic, sure.
Yeah.
Hacking abilities is potentially game breaking, to be honest. I don't know how.
It's the same thing as the sleep dart for Ana, though.
Yeah, I picked this up immediately. Like, she's very much like Ana.
As far as that ability goes,
you don't need to aim with it, though. It sort of locks on.
Yeah, but
as long
three
as you're
seconds, though. If you don't have it locked on for 3 seconds, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but she's probably going to be invisible when she's doing that. That's her other.
Well, no, well, and she's invisible. But as soon as you do something other than move, you are taken out of.
When you're locking on, you're probably still invisible until it.
No, it's. As soon as you do anything other than move, you come
out. I heard damage or get damaged. That's all I heard. I don't know if the lock-on section will take them out of it. Well, I don't know.
All right. Either way. We'll see. Yeah, they've adjusted Ana before she came out. So, like, when she hit the PTR, she was adjusted when it actually hit the main game.
So that is her second ability, that she has this camo mode where... apparently, the cooldown's only 6 seconds, too, so pretty much she's going to be invisible and fast most of the match until she does anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a better Tracer.
And she's on the PTR today.
Yeah, she is. She also has a teleporter.
Yeah, that one's probably the most interesting to me, although I don't know, like, how long it lasts when you throw it into the environment.
It's 15 seconds.
Yeah, I almost think, why not make that permanent?
Because then you could go back to that point in it time.
No, I mean, and then you'd have to throw it again.
Yeah. I like the 15-second countdown because it gives you urgency. And it would be game-breaking if it was forever.
She could just go somewhere, but like if it's somewhere stupid or people spot it and they're waiting to shoot her in the head when she comes back. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Her abilities are strange and... Oh, then there's her ultimate, which will, like, just destroy everything.
It's an EMP. So shields, abilities.
I think turrets, shields, and abilities all won't work in that EMP range. So kind of like how Maze Blizzard, like, completely makes all points a disaster area. Mm-hmm. I think this will, too.
Yeah, except it doesn't last long, just a quick thing.
Pulse, yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see,
It makes defense characters even more useless.
Yeah, which is not what this game needed. Like, Torbjorn, more useless. Reinhardt now is vulnerable, I guess, since his shield actually counts as something that she can hack. So his shield won't even show up if she hacks him, which is, I think, a big thing.
But she can't hack through his shield.
Okay.
Just saying, you can't stand in front of him and hack his shield from there.
So it'll be interesting because the way the game goes, like now, I guess the meta, I hate using that word, is you pretty much need a Reinhardt for most modes.
Well, because he's the only true tank.
Yeah, and he can, like, you know, actually block things for you. I mean, D.Va almost can, but he's the only one who really can block. Like, if I'm playing a game and I don't have, like, a pure healer, a hybrid healer like Zenyatta or Ana, and a Reinhardt, then, like, I'm like, well, you're not doing this right because you need, like, at least two healers and a Reinhardt. But hopefully this switches it up, I guess, a little. Maybe
this is definitely going to change the way the game is played, and it's going to be interesting to see how long it takes. Because, like, Ana, people didn't play at all for a while, and now she's, like, almost required.
Yeah.
So. I actually have a winning record with her. Barely. But a winning record with her in this year's competitive. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to play Sombra. She doesn't seem that appealing to me.
I think everybody's going to play her for a little bit. You got to try her once. I tried her
hardly,
once.
I've hardly played. I played
you tried
on
her once.
Time.
Yeah. I mean, just once. You got to try her once.
Yeah. I mean,
new
I was
content.
Pretty
that's
into
the thing.
The whole idea of Ana.
Well, I'm out. I'm out until I get my PS Pro. So, and I may not buy that next week. I may wait to see if they do a Black Friday bundle.
Well, season three doesn't start till the 30th anyway.
I think I'm out entirely on season two now, and I may just try to focus on
getting
gears.
That's one thing I was like, not that I'm upset with, because obviously you get to play and enjoy the game, but for people that play 10 matches and rank up super high will get way more points than someone who plays 200 matches and gets to rank 2,500.
Like, I'm gonna get more points than you, Mike.
That's I don't know. I mean, to me that seems like.
Listen, I don't give a flying fuck about those.
I'm just saying, I played 10 matches. Played 200. I'm gonna get.
I actually played almost 240 this season.
Yeah, I played 10.
I'm just saying, it
I'm
seems
at like 2400 something.
Yeah. You know?
I agree. I agree. 100%. I agree.
Because you're gonna get the higher.
I'm gonna get the platinum tier.
Yeah. Well, Mike got platinum tier, but.
Oh, okay. Then you're good.
Yeah, I got up to over 25 for a little bit.
I played 10 matches though.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like if you could play 10 matches and.
I mean, I got a bunch of loot boxes for all this time, but
right,
2649 is what? It's still platinum, right?
Yeah, 30,000 to get to diamond.
Yeah, which I mean, I'd like to get back over the platinum threshold, but it doesn't matter.
That's the thing, it doesn't matter. Like whatever your highest was is what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm more excited about the arcade stuff. I don't know when any of this, including Sombra, is coming to console.
Right before I think Sombra should. Now, this is what I think they should do: is release their arcade mode and release these characters into arcade mode if it's mid-season from now on, and then let us play as them in arcade modes, and then let us play as them in the next season. You know what I mean? Rather than have Ana show up in mid-season like she did and mess everybody else's game up because it's got to be adjusted to heroes. Like, it's another part of the game you have to adjust to.
Yeah, it's competitive. Really doesn't matter.
I guess. I mean, if you want to try a new character, then try it, I guess, in there. It would be a little hard pill for people to swallow if they released the character and you couldn't play them in competitive.
I don't know. Diablo 3. Let's talk about Diablo 3. Diablo 3 was, not Diablo 4, as we all got trolled.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blizzard. So Diablo 4 is not coming like I thought. I lost my bet. Corey's got to sign me a movie. Do you have one picked out?
No. I wasn't planning on having to pick one out. I honestly thought
you were losing that bet. I'm like, I'm sitting here picking movies, and I'm like, shit. And then they go and troll us and tell us that Diablo 1 is going to now be in Diablo 3. Like the original game.
So that's three in a row against you, Jim.
You get Diablo 4. There you go. Add them up, just like the math you started the podcast with.
Oh, there you go, Mike.
Diablo 3 plus Diablo 1 equals Diablo 4. There you go.
That's how they got to 4.
That's what the 4 on the die was for, I guess.
Yeah, like, again, they give us Diablo 1, a rehash. Obviously, it's going to be in Diablo 3, the game. And then they're also bringing Necromancer over, which is another character class, from Diablo 2 into Diablo 3. We didn't get anything in original. We got nothing. Like, that's a bit ridiculous.
For Diablo 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I think it's a bit... I'm a bit... That's the part of this whole thing that I could yell at Blizzard for. I feel like they really missed everything from their show by not revealing a new game.
Can't reveal new game every BlizzCon, though. Like, I understand, but it makes sense here just because it's been a while, but still, like... It's one company. It's not.
They have enough properties where they could start revealing new game releases. Yeah. Like Overwatch was revealed, then they could do Diablo 4 coming next year. Then by next BlizzCon, it's
Do you want
StarCraft 3?
Do you want a Diablo 4 teaser announcement and then not see it for 3 years?
Well, no. I thought they'd be working on it already. I thought we'd be seeing it next fall.
You'd think so, but they would not wait. I mean, you're not going to see it now until...
Like, when did Diablo 3 come out? 2011?
Is it that long? No, is it that long? I think it's been four years.
I bought it on PC. Don't forget, the Ultimate Edition's not Diablo 3.
Mm-hmm.
It came out on... Balls. Wow. Well, this version came out in 2014.
Right. Well,
but the original version of it
didn't come out to console for a while after.
Yeah, I want to say it was 2012. Then I'm going to go 2012.
I think it was 4 years. Also.
Yeah.
We can look it up.
Anyways, so I don't know. I was disappointed with BlizzCon. What do you guys think, Mike? You're probably fine, right? You got what you wanted or no?
I mean, yeah. Again, Overwatch is really the only thing I care about of it. And while it wasn't a big surprise.
For the record, if they announced the game, who knows if you would have liked it or not? Because you didn't care about Overwatch to begin with.
No, and...
You made fun of us for wanting to play it.
And I didn't care about it, like, for the first few months of it either.
And you hated yourself while you played it.
I still hate myself while I play it.
It did come out in 2012, by the way. May 2012.
It brings out the worst in humanity. Yeah. I mean,
the thing is, like,
information about that was fine for me, but it wasn't a big surprise.
I mean, Overwatch, yeah, we didn't expect anything else like that. We didn't like Overwatch the news. We knew summer's coming, and we probably were getting the map, which we got everything. The arcade stuff was a nice surprise, and I like that they're taking away whatever they're calling it. It's not quick play. Is not quick play anymore. It's arcade, and then they have the competitive mode, Hero Limit, which. During the week off, I think they're just gonna have it there, but won't count towards a rank and it won't count towards getting competitive points.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think as far as the conference, it was kind of a weird way to end with a 4-year-old game DLC. Like,
yeah.
You'd think that they'd ended on a higher note than that. And that's just, it was kind of like, well, wait, there should be more. What's the big announcement? Because Sombra, yeah. I think, is a bigger announcement. I would have waited for that. Oh, and Overwatch League. That seems, like, huge in scope, the Overwatch League.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know about, like, that. They're basing off of English Premier League and kind of style where you're going to have eventually multiple countries involved in this, and it's going to be regional. So, like, you're going to have the New York team and the Los Angeles team, and you're actually going to get to try it out. If you want to go to the combine, well, you have to qualify, but still, it's
yep. Start training today, guys.
Scope is ridiculous for that, and you're getting contracts with full benefits.
Huh?
I mean, as you're signing a contract like an athlete, and you're getting full benefits and a yearly salary. It's not like you have to. It's performance based because you want to stay on the team, but it's also. You know you have a secure job, which is, I think, what esports needs. Like, you can't have a system where it's based off of winning a specific tournament, because those could be coming and going. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what golf is, though. Like, you know, lots of, like, single-player sports are like that, so.
Yeah, but this is not a single-player sport.
I guess not. A lot of esports kind of are, I guess, but.
Not for Overwatch, that's my point, though. Like, it's a team-based one, and you have... to have a team chemistry, I guess. I don't know. I think that it's very cool that they're doing it, and I hope it succeeds, but the scope just seems huge, and I don't see how it's gonna
be. There's not like a good way really to watch Overwatch, because there's too much going on. You mostly can just see from one character's perspective, and it doesn't give you a good
really need a better spectator mode, and hopefully that'll happen. And when you watch it, though, the esports versions of it, they do have like the overhead a little bit, the camera.
Yeah,
they do follow the
I know, but it's so. Still real hard. I mean, I've seen some of it, and it's really just like you really just kind of want to watch from the perspective of one player just to like.
I think they're still in the learning phase for that. Like, you have to figure out how it's going to be best viewed. And also the casting is very important. Like, the announcers are very important as well. Like, if you're not having fun listening to them, it's not going to be good.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into what we've been up to, guys. Moving on. Corey and I, we've been playing Gears of War 4. We can talk about that real quick. The more you play it, the more I love it.
Yeah.
Like, the nostalgia of it, like, God, it's good. Like, having Phoenix back into it and... You know, certain things happen that makes it more dramatic. And I don't know, like, I am really enjoying playing this game back to this. It's like the right, like you said, Corey, you said the right game at the right time, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it's definitely filling that need for me because I'm a huge Gears of War 3 fan. Like,
yeah.
Like, that was my game before Borderlands, really. And, like, this just, it feels like Gears, which sometimes games get criticized for that, and sometimes games get. Like praised for being like that's what I never understand. Like, this game got criticized for being too much Gears, too much like Gears.
Yeah.
Where an Uncharted got praised for being exactly like Uncharted. So
yeah. No, that's the Naughty Dog bias.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, this game is what I wanted from Gears. Like, I wanted Gears 4 to feel like the old Gears games, but bring a new take, new characters, and it brought in the Swarm, which is basically the Locust, and it makes sense. Like. Why they call them that, because it's funny because they even have like in jokes about different things that happen or happened in the other Gears games where these are the sons and daughters of the characters you knew before, and so like Marcus is like, oh, that's what you're calling them. He's like, because he just figured he was gonna call them Locust or whatever.
Yeah
And it's like, oh, that's what you guys are calling them. So it's neat how they you know, have those references and
callbacks. It's actually nice. And like as we were playing it, like I actually enjoyed not playing as Marcus Fenix and having him comment on the game. Like mm-hmm. as you're playing, it's like it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's refreshing, and it definitely again, it has a Gears feel to it, which is great. And you can watch, you know, like you said, Fenix do his thing. And
it's like an amazing thing, because when you talk about Halo and playing as somebody other than Master Chief, it gets you crazy. Like you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And like, and I would have thought about that with Gears. Like, I wouldn't want to play as somebody else than Marcus Fenix, but it's actually working very well. It's
you
actually
did
good.
Play as other characters though in the other Gears games, because
yes, so that does help. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's great so far. The story's been very interesting, and mm-hmm. it's been compelling. It's made us want to keep going.
Yeah,
And the chapters or acts are pretty significant. They're not like super short or anything. So it's felt like a good campaign. And the competitive is really fun. I really enjoy competitive. I talked about Dodgeball. I think that mode is fantastic. Like, I would love to see that in Overwatch. That would be pretty cool. Because I mean, if you don't know what Dodgeball is, basically you get out and then you have to kill the other team to get back in. Like that. Like it's 5-on-5 in Gears, I believe. So like being 1 versus 5, you could turn the tide just by killing one person. Because then you bring back somebody. So it swings the numbers dramatically.
It's a two-man swing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a really neat game mode. And like I said, I'm surprised it's not been in other games before.
Yeah, yeah. That's really it for me, because like I said, my PlayStation melted. Mm-hmm. So that's all I've played. Corey, what else for you?
You know, I always get back into Destiny here and there. And a lot of Overwatch I played. But those are the three games: Gears, Destiny, Overwatch. Trying to think if there's anything else, but not since last week. So,
all right, Mike.
Yeah, just Overwatch really.
I don't think
my way
we
back.
Are on at the same time either, Mike. It's like no, you play so I'm, much,
I'm
I don't see you
pretty
on.
Pretty late at night. Once the things clear out and business is done,
right?
I pretty much wait till like I get on at like midnight or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm out by midnight now.
But I clawed my way back up to over 2,400. I had fallen all the way to like 20,000.
Oh jeez.
2,800. I mean,
you spiraled. See what happens? You gotta get up and take a break at that point.
Well, I mean, really, like again.
I'm afraid for how bad I'm gonna be at this game when I get back.
One of my theories is that like. Once I get deeper late into the night, where we're like getting to like 2:33 a.m., things go wrong because everyone playing is either
switches the demographic.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Either like some crazy people who just play the game 24/7, or your teammates are people who are just like on drugs or something. Mm-hmm. So it's a little sketchy that you get a very mixed bag once it's late. So I try to. I'm trying to like scale it back and I don't know. But I'm back up to 24 something. So cool. I'm within my 100 of my season high, so I'm okay with it right now.
Cool.
We'll see what happens when I go and play it later tonight.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's going to wrap up episode 317. Thank you, listeners and viewers, for tuning in. Tune in next week. We're going to talk. I'll get Tony's opinions on BlizzCon, which I'm sure he's going to want to give them. Movie cast as well. He's got some. He hasn't seen Doctor Strange, but he probably will this weekend. So we'll hear that. And we got a whole bunch of stuff still coming out with some Mass Effect details. I'm sure we'll have some more stuff for that. Maybe I'll have a PS4 Pro I can talk about. We'll see.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be some bonus rounds.
Yes. Yes, maybe there will be, depending on if you
want
it.
That's up to you guys.
Write us podcast at allyoucangeek.net. Follow us on Twitter, allyoucangeek. Tell us what you'd like us to have a bonus round about. We have one out there right now for the movie cast side. Do you want us to have a Luke Cage spoiler cast? It's been a little bit of time, so we just want to make sure you still want some. Facebook as well. You can contact us there. Write us on Facebook, you know, our website.
Rate us on iTunes. I think you said that.
Rate us on iTunes. Give us a review on iTunes. That'd be cool. We haven't had one of those in a while.
We'll read it out on the podcast.
Yeah. Yep. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, guys. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, viewers.
Thanks, everyone.